Hello and a very warm welcome to Monocle on Design Extra. It's a show brought to you by the team behind Monocle's dedicated weekly design program. I'm Nolan Giles. British fashion designer Phoebe Philo is lauded for her ability to produce garments that women want to wear, clothing made with the female gaze in mind. With news that the designer will launch her very own eponymous brand, there is much anticipation to see what the former creative director of Celine will do next. Regular Monocle 24 voice and fashion journalist Dana Thomas tells us what we can expect from Philo's return to the fashion industry.
Phoebe Philo is a designer who went to St. Martin's in London with Stella McCartney, and they were gal pals. And when Stella was appointed to Chloe, she brought Phoebe with her as her number two. And I met Phoebe back then when they were just kids. I think they were 22, 23 years old. I remember seeing her on that first day at Chloe when they arrived. She had big overalls on and a t-shirt, and she had these sort of gold things on her teeth. And she just seems so kind of radical London in chic Paris. I couldn't believe it. Phoebe took over Chloe, and she really did turn it into something very fun. I mean, Stella had already given it a good launch, and then Phoebe took it to a whole new height because she's just got this great talent for understanding. She's got a pulse on what women want. And back then it was young women in their early 30s, or late 20s, who wanted cool, fun fashion, baby doll dresses and funky pants that were well tailored and fit you well and were beautifully made, but they were luxury, kind of luxury hippie wear in a way. And she really did tap into that market, but you could already start seeing some of her talent in tailoring a more mature kind of design sort of seeping in quietly in the technique. So when she went to Celine, she was tapped by LVMH to take over Celine. Celine then needed a bit of pumping up. It had been sort of trucking along fine, but not reaching its potential. And when she started there, they were doing 200 million euros in sales. And by the time she left in 2017, it had gone up to 700 million. So she really did reinvigorate the brand, and she did it by making clothes that women wanted to wear. It's as simple as that. They weren't just clothes, though. They always had a bit of fashion to them. They were had a bit of dazzle, they were savvy, they were sexy, but they were also beautifully made, and they just flattered women, and you were comfortable in them. They weren't hard to wear. Some fashion is really hard to wear. At the end of the day, you're tired. That's the beauty of what Phoebe does. Her clothes do not take work. They're effortless, and you look smart. Well, what I do know is that she's had the team together and been working on the initial, the startup collections and everything since December or January. They've been working on this for a while. This isn't like something they've just put together in the last couple months. This has been a long road before they announced it. She's going to be in England, so she's a little out of reach of the LVMH team. It's hard, LVMH is a gigantic company. They have more than 75 brands now, I think, from champagne to Fenty lingerie. But she's going to be a little out of reach from the power hub in Paris. They also have a minority stake. Now, they will look after their minority stake carefully, and they'll make sure that she's not wasting money and she's staying on track. And I think the beauty of this deal is that, she's a designer and she's an artist. She's not a businesswoman. She went to St. Martin's at a time before they had business classes. And that's been one of the downfalls of so many of the graduates of St. Martin's in those early years, McQueen and Galliano included, that they didn't know the business, and then they were put into management roles and it was beyond their control. With LVMH, she has people looking at her numbers and saying, you might want to watch that. You have some money to spend here. They'll keep her on the straight and narrow financially on the business side, which is good. It's giving her some structure, but hopefully they won't meddle too much because she needs her freedom to do what she does. She can now do what she wants to do when she wants to do it on her timeline. And the beauty of that is after COVID, that timeline is way less frantic than it was before. Everyone has dialed back. And so when she says, I want to do this at a slower pace and less demanding, you know, not collections every time you blink and shows every time you blink and, you know, traveling all over the world doing shows, that's all so over now because it's just not sustainable. And so she's coming in at the right time. She really is. And I think she'll flourish and she will be one of the first great successes, if not the first great success that LVMH has in startups. Their track record in startups has been terrible. Most of them fail. And I think because they're not trying to back and control the whole thing, they're letting her do her thing, she will succeed.
My thanks to Dana Thomas there. And that's all for this week. If you're eager for more design stories, listen to our full-length program airing on Tuesdays, 8 p.m. London time. Today's episode was produced by Maylie Evans. I'm Nolan Giles. Thank you for listening and goodbye.